supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Voices in the Family is made possible in part by the generous support of Devereaux, the nation's largest nonprofit provider of behavioral health care for children, adolescents, and adults with developmental and intellectual disabilities, behavioral disorders, and mental illness. Devereaux operates at 15 centers in 11 states throughout the country.
I'm Dan Gottlieb. Thanks for listening to Voices in the Family. Do me a favor, take a minute now and reflect on your Thanksgiving gatherings of the past. Who were you with, and what was going on in your life at the time, in the lives of others? For me, many years were spent at my sister and brother-in-law's house. At first, there was just the three of us. Then I got married, and my wife joined in. We had children, so did my sisters, so there were more chairs added to the table. After my accident, accommodations were made so that my family and I could still visit. But then my sister died, and I had to create my own ritual without her. Today I hosted dinner at my house with my children, their spouses, my grandson Sam, and my son-in-law's family, and there's always a few others around the table. It took time, but my tradition grew into something new, something that's mine. Holidays mark the passage of time, which we'll talk about on today's show. We're also going to talk about what stresses us and review some of the basics of getting along. Joining me to do all this is my dear friend, Barbara Wingate. She's a psychiatrist with the Rittenhouse Healing Collaborative in Philadelphia. Barbara, welcome back.
Thank you.
Later on, we're going to touch base with wellness coach and stress reduction expert Elizabeth Scott, and we would love to hear from you. Tell us what Thanksgiving means to you. What are the stressors? What are the joys? What does it mean to be with family and without? Our number is 888-477-9499. Again, that's 888-477-9499. So, my friend.
Yes.
How has your Thanksgiving tradition marked changes in your life?
Oh, so many ways. And I have to say, the first one that comes to mind, blessedly and sadly, is last Thanksgiving, my father-in-law had his last one with us, and everyone was gathered around at my in-laws hoping that he would be able to enjoy it, and he did. He was in the living room on a hospital bed, but he was there, and they have generations and generations, 37 great-grandchildren.
Oh my.
And many were present, and many celebrated.
So, I'll tell you my take on this holiday.
Pap. I had to get that word out.
Yeah.
They celebrated Pap.
Yeah. I saw a whole lot of emotions, got that word stuck in your throat. I'm sorry for your loss. It looks like you're still...
Well, I've told you many times over the years, they were like Buddhas. Yeah. They were like two just working class, wonderful, and his wife of a gazillion years carries on and is beloved. So the tradition's still there.
So I want to tell you, to me, what this holiday means is, you know, it's a holiday with the least junk laid on top of it. There's not a whole lot of religious business. There's not a whole lot
right.
of cultural expectations. So it's basically getting together with family and friends to have a nice meal. So why all the stress? she left.
Oh, my goodness. Because where are we going? Who's coming? Who's talking to who? Who's not talking to who? Who gets to make what dish? Who? There's so many tiny details that it really shouldn't matter. And they end up mattering way too much because it actually should be and can be a holiday of just great celebration. Like you say, a pretty clean one. It should be.
Why do those little things matter?
I think they're the rituals of our life. And the rituals in our life do matter. They bring us many times great pleasure and comfort and a sense of history that makes us feel grounded. I think the thing that's fun is actually when you change that and when you allow permission for something to grow and be different and not get so rigid with your rituals that you suck the life out of them, but rather allow them to bloom.
Which brings up the whole issue here of expectations. All families... she laughs again. So all families have expectations. All humans have expectations, whether we acknowledge it or not. Like you said, some are rigid and kind of internally demanding, but most of these expectations are really unspoken.
Yes.
They're silent, they're felt, but they're not spoken. So tell us about these unspoken ones. They can be more powerful.
Well, I think they are. The expectation that just because someone has always hosted Thanksgiving, that it's theirs, that they own it. And so if someone new wants to host it, it's almost like a question you're not even allowed to raise, because raising the question can just bring so many feelings. So I think the expectation about where it's going to be and who's going to come are often unstated because there are so many rituals. And then when someone does something new, there can be unspoken resentment. How dare they decide to go to another country over Thanksgiving? How dare they decide to invite somebody without permission? Just say, I'm going to bring someone.
You know, as I listen to you describe this thought process, verbalized or not, one of the things I'm hearing is unexpressed emotions.
Yes.
So what I'm hearing is fear or disappointment or hurt. And these emotions never get verbalized. They come through the prefrontal cortex and they sound like, oh, it's okay, or whatever, or, you know, but you never know. You know,
probably many of them shouldn't be expressed. Sometimes we over-talk things, and I think somehow if we can just get a bigger heart and a bigger sense of humor, there's a lot that doesn't have to be expressed. I think it's more that we need to do some internal work and just sort of making ourselves bigger to roll with the punches or ride the waves, whatever phrase you want.
I want to talk to you about that, the issue of making ourselves bigger, which is probably not a good metaphor to use before a big feast, but we'll get to that. We're talking with psychiatrist Barbara Wingate about the holidays, about Thanksgiving, about the meal, and about families. What does this holiday mean to you? What's stressful? What's difficult for you? What's joyous? How has it marked time in your life? Give us a call. We want to hear from you and chat with you and join our conversation. We're at 888-477-9499. That's 888-477-9499. Please call early. I have a feeling we're going to be backed up with callers as the show goes on. Barbara, this business of making the heart, making the self bigger, sounds great. Tough to get there.
Not so tough. It just has to have intention. You have to wish it so. It has to be, I think, in your own heart and mind and intention that you would like to be a more gracious, actually, for Thanksgiving, we should say a more grateful human being. And I think if you approach Thanksgiving with that attitude of gratitude and really make that front and center, it gets easier to get bigger.
Yeah.
If you can look at how much we have to be grateful for and sort of enter the holiday that way, some of the other little snags along the way look a lot smaller.
Yeah, I firmly believe that gratitude is the birthplace of wisdom, of well-being and awakening. I want to take a look at structure here, Barbara, family structure. If we did this show 20 years ago, and actually, I think I did. it would have been a very different show, as family structures and family identities have changed so dramatically, and they're still changing, and still very dramatically. Does that mean our expectations evolve as families do, or do they stay back with this idealized family we have in our head?
I think the conflict arises when it doesn't evolve. I think it has to evolve. We are in very different circumstances. Even just by aging, things happen. And so not to get comfortable with the idea, a very long-term dear friend is possibly going to lose a husband sometime over the next month. And how could this Thanksgiving not be, and he's young, how could it not be different? And there's going to be evolution. There's another person I'm seeing who's about to have a baby this week. So additions and losses and separations are happening all the time in the healthiest of families. And then we also have to incorporate when there's sadness about separation, divorce, things like that. But we have to incorporate them with a big heart.
I want to know how. For example,
You're so picky. He wants to know how.
That's why we're paying you all this money here. I've worked with many people who say that the most painful Thanksgiving is the one that they attend right after a loved one dies or some other major illness. And I wonder, what is it that those around the table can do to make it, what they do to make it worse, what they can do to make it better?
A couple things come to mind. You have to acknowledge the loss. But I think if you can do something as interesting as saying, let's each one of us remember something really special about whoever, spouse, child. That one's impossible. Spouse, child, grandparent, whatever. I think if you can bring some sense that you have to acknowledge it, but then you don't want to get stuck in the sadness of it. You want to celebrate someone's life. And so lots of ways to celebrate someone's life.
Let's go to the phones. We've got Linda on the line. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Dan. Dr. Dan?
Yeah.
Nice to talk to you. Yeah, I was just telling the person that answered the phone earlier that 7 years ago, my mother-in-law was living here with us temporarily. She was 83. And we found her, she passed away on Thanksgiving morning. And it was too late to cancel everybody coming because they were in transit from Virginia and from the Philadelphia area, and my kids were here. But the thing was, we all pulled together and just made it through.
How so?
Well, it was nice to have family to support each other.
Was she talked about? How was she talked about?
Oh, well, it was very unusual because we found her dead in bed at 10:30 in the morning. And we just kind of gathered together, and people were pulling into our driveway at about the time the ambulance was taking her away. So we just sat around and talked about the funny things that we remembered her by. And
I think we lost her.
I'm sorry, my phone is kicking up on me. We inherited her 38-year-old. And so we got to keep him for about 6 months until we found somebody to take him off our hands. And so we left about him. It was kind of a comfort.
Yeah, we missed a word.
38-year-old what?
What? Yeah.
It was a cockatiel.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if it was her son or, you know.
It was an important 38-year-old cockatiel.
All right. It's just an important word, Linda, you know.
Yeah, somebody was calling me, and my phone kicks off when it calls, so I'm sorry about that.
It's
but
all
no,
right.
38-year-old bird that none of us could stand. So we all talked about him all day long and how much she loved him, and it was kind of a comfort to all of us to know that the bird was still around.
Yeah.
You know? But we didn't cook him up for Thanksgiving dinner, even though we wanted to.
Despite your fantasies, right. Linda, thanks so much for the call. We are talking about Thanksgiving, and I guess holiday rituals and what they mean and what the stress is about and what the good news is. What does that mean to you? What are some stories that are important? What are some that are disasters? Share it with us. We're at 888-477-9499. We're going to be back in just a few minutes. We'll be talking more with Barbara Wingate. And we're also going to be joined by Elizabeth Scott. She's a wellness coach and health educator. So please give us a call, join our conversation, and we'll see you in just 60 seconds. I'm Dan Gottlieb. You're listening to Voices in the Family. That's right here on WHYY FM.
Beaumont at Bryn Mawr supports WHYY and presents a panel discussion, Moving into Retirement, led by Dr. Dan Gottlieb, host of Voices in the Family, on Saturday, December 3rd at 1 p.m. with lunch at noon. The panel will explore retirement issues in the context of family, when is the best time, how to prepare, and who can help. Open to the public December 3rd. Event registration and information at beaumontretirement.com or 610-526-7000.
David Coleman Headley was one of the leaders of the terrorist attack on Mumbai. The son of a Pakistani father and American mother, Headley became a drug smuggler, then a DEA informant, and after 9/11, an Islamic militant while working for the DEA. On the next Fresh Air, we speak with investigative reporter Sebastian Rotella about his new Frontline documentary. Join us.
This afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
We are back on Voices in the Family. I'm Dan Gottlieb, your host. We're talking about the holidays. Well, we're talking about families and what it means and what it's like as you mark the passage of time with your family around these holidays. Our number is 888-477-9499. We've been talking with Barbara Wingate, a psychiatrist with Rittenhouse Healing Collaborative. We're joined now by Elizabeth Scott. She's a wellness coach and health educator. Elizabeth, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So I looked online and I read your survey, and it showed that the vast majority of people felt stress around the holidays because of difficult relatives. And only 17% said they felt no stress at all. And I could venture a wild guess about how that gender breakdown is. But we'll just leave that. But so your readers say that it's relatives that make it stressful.
Yes, relatives even more than all of the activity. And there's a huge amount of activity around the holidays, around Thanksgiving, but it tends to be the relatives. A lot of my readers, a lot of my clients and friends talk about this. And it's not that we don't love our families, of course, but we get into old patterns. We get into stepping on each other's toes when everybody's all under the same roof for extended periods. And just interacting with people that we love but don't see that often can sometimes be stressful. And some of the things that you were talking about earlier, the patterns, the unspoken emotions that may not be getting out there.
So it's what we carry in to these holidays. You know, I was observing Elizabeth, and I'd like to hear you weigh in on this, Barbara, that, you know, everybody around the table comes to that table with their own story about who they are, how they fit, who everybody else is, what they're thinking and what their expectations are and how they're going to behave and how I'm going to react. So everybody comes with that grand work of fiction to the table. And what's interesting to me is everybody sitting around the table is living in the middle of that grand work of fiction. It's a very, very busy table.
Mm-hmm. And if you put on top of that the stress of traveling and getting there, the stress of the host having to cook everything, keep everything clean, and then everybody's expectations, it gets to be a pretty busy table, even when nobody's saying anything.
Yeah. I used to go to my wife's family on occasion for different holidays, Thanksgiving, Passover. And I was always distressed about how she behaved. When we left home, she was a wife, a mother, a wonderful woman, and she gets home and with her family, and she's an obedient little girl without a voice. Mm-hmm. It used to frustrate me no end, and I guess I felt, you know, a little alone there. Mm-hmm. Pretty typical, huh?
Yeah, well, from what I've found, it is quite typical because people revert back to their patterns from their family of origin. We all grow and we change in our adulthood, and then we go on and make lives of our own. And often when we get back with our families of origin, we go back to being in the roles that we were when we were teenagers or even younger. And it gets difficult for the spouses. A lot of people find this. And for the children, and it's sort of a role confusion. And it can be difficult to break family patterns because the family members often in a system tend to work harder to keep everybody kind of behaving the same way that everybody expects and that things have always been. In fact, it's common enough that a term has been coined known as revertigo, where we revert back to behaving the way we were when we were a lot younger. Mm-hmm. And yes, new spouses, new boyfriends and girlfriends can kind of be like, who is this person?
Barbara, you know, the great thinker and writer James Hillman said that it's always regressive going back home. He said that's why we use the language back home. And we lose between 10 and 40 years from our emotional life.
Well, I have wonderful memories of Thanksgiving growing up and going back with family. So I would have to have my husband and daughter speak to how I regressed from what they remember. I know that I used to check all of the cupboards to see what kind of cereal they had. I don't know who else's house could I go to and open up all the cupboards and see what kind of cereal. I'm sure there were more serious regressions.
I wonder if your husband and daughter are listening to the show. I'd love to hear from them about...
I know. My daughter's in school, and I think my husband's on business calls.
Lucky
yes,
you.
I know.
Elizabeth, because it's regressive, old wounds resurface, yes?
Absolutely. And they're not even always talked about, but often the expectations are there. And this is where the stress can come in. The stress can start before the families even get together. Everybody can have their own kind of fears and expectations of what might happen that can start far before the holiday. In fact, several people who are my readers have been commenting that the stress has already started weeks before Thanksgiving.
I think we have to put a stop to that.
Yes,
I think,
too.
You know, in your position and certainly in mine, I know I'm trying to get to a place where people can think more positively about it and be creative about mm-hmm. some of their longings or their frustrations. And can you build it into a new attitude that actually brings something grateful and maybe of service to the table that sort of elevates everyone.
Well, I do want to talk about that, about, first of all, we have to get perspective. You know, Elizabeth, when I read your blog, you know, we have to be fair that, you know, when we say only 17% reported no stress, people are probably coming to you because they feel some stress in the first place. And it's the same with you, Barbara, as a psychiatrist, and me as a psychologist. So we don't see the happy campers. I mean, they're not coming to us. But we have to talk about what can be done to change this. Let go on, Barbara.
I was going to say, because they are out there, and we can learn from them. And so I think getting some positive role models and learning from people who do something really special and have a fun Thanksgiving. Just like not every wedding is a disaster, although many have disaster stories. I don't think every Thanksgiving is that way. I think there are a lot of people out there who are actually having a wonderful, loving time and doing things that feel meaningful, but we don't hear about them as much.
It's also important to say that even the disasters turn into great stories that we can tell, and we all know that, and we've all told them.
All right, I have one. I remember when I was single and wanting so to have a family and feeling frustrated. I was in medical school at an older age, and I remember saying to my mother that could we have Thanksgiving at my house that was always at my parents. And I know she would not have meant to hurt me, but what she said to me, when you have a table and 12 chairs, we will have it at your house. And I thought, well, when I have a table and 12 chairs, I'm not sure you've got a seat at the table. She did. One day I had that, and she did. But, you know, people say things that they just don't know the impact depending on where you are.
So let's get down to brass tacks here, both of you. So we go to the holidays, and here are the difficult people. You know, we've got one who's a control freak and tries to micromanage everything, or the one who drinks too much, or the martyr. We all know them, or the one that knows everything and insists on repeating it. So by now, most of us have learned that rolling your eyes or gossiping about them behind their back are not effective stress reduction techniques. So what are?
One thing that I'd like to highlight is viewing the whole experience through a new lens, you know, reframing it in a different way. And this doesn't mean ignoring issues that may come up. It's actually looking at them through a different lens. So being aware of how this can be stressful, but viewing it also as an opportunity to make more positive memories if things haven't been that easy in the past.
I love that.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones. We've got Lucille on the line. Hi, Lucille.
Oh, hi. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
I have an issue this Thanksgiving. I have a big, wonderful family of about 37 people, and we get together every Thanksgiving, sometimes at my home, sometimes at someone else's. But my son, one of my children, passed away 2 years ago, and my daughter-in-law and my three grandchildren do not want to take the long drive to my sister's house, and she's hosting this Thanksgiving. And I'm so torn because she doesn't really celebrate Thanksgiving very much. She doesn't always make a turkey. She doesn't want to go anywhere. And I want to be with my grandchildren, but also I want to be with my family. And I just feel like I want to, you know, close the shades and watch TV all day because I don't know where to go. My daughter-in-law also said she might be going to my child's father's house for Thanksgiving, but she's not sure what she's doing. And I feel so caught in the middle, I don't know where to go or what to do. And it's really an issue. And I also wanted to say that when you describe the different personalities that are at the table, they're all at my table,
yeah,
but we love them, and it's wonderful.
First, before we turn to my experts who have way more knowledge and advice about where to go and how to make these decisions. Before we do that, I want to tell you how sorry I am that you lost a child. And I wonder how painful these holidays must be for you.
I really hate the holidays, except for my three incredible grandchildren, who are, I'm not kidding, it's not just because I'm the grandmom, they are wonderful. They are such a joy to be around. And, you know, my family is very close. I have three sisters. And for us, it's Thanksgiving is a collaborative effort. It's always fun. It's always new and exciting. But I have this problem that I can't go to it this year. Or I can go, but I would rather be with my grandchildren. But my daughter-in-law says, I want you to do what you want to do. I want you to do what makes you happy. And I want to say, I want to be with you. But it's not like I feel like there's a Thanksgiving there. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. And I'm going to, if I may, Lucille, reframe your questions before I turn to my guests. I want the question to be, it's not about what's going to make Lucille happy. It's about how Lucille can care for her heart over this holiday and the next ones. What can we advise Lucille to for her heart? Barbara?
Well, I want to say, like Dan, I cannot imagine the loss you've experienced. And so I think you really still have to be holding a velvet glove around your heart. You describe your grandchildren with such pleasure. And wherever they are, it's Thanksgiving for them, no matter if it doesn't look like yours, has traditionally. So I'm going to urge you to really take a look at what Thanksgiving can you bring to those children and how might it be okay for it to be different for you.
Don't make your happiness the goal, because there's gain and loss with each decision. So there's going to be some joy and there's going to be some loss. So
yes,
the goal has to be care for your heart. Elizabeth, do you have any thoughts for Lucille?
Yes, and I want to echo what they have said. I'm so sorry for your loss. And I really think taking care of yourself is key. I mean, it's wonderful that you're concerned about everybody's feelings, and you know, you sound like a wonderful, caring person, and you love everybody in your family. But the way I've heard you talk about your grandchildren, and you came out and said that's where you want to be, and I think you should allow yourself to do that. That's what I would urge. It sounds like everybody would understand whatever you wanted to do, but you know, taking care of yourself, I think, is key.
Lucille, thank you so much for your call. And more than anything, I wish you peace over these holidays.
And I want to tell you how very much I enjoy your programs, and when you were writing in the paper, you've given me a lot of inspiration, and I've known for years that your grandson's name is Sam.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for being there.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Okay.
Well, we're going to have to take a short break, and we're going to be saying goodbye to Elizabeth Scott. We're going to continue with Barbara Wingate. Elizabeth, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And could you give us your address, please, your web address?
Yes, you can find my stress management information at stress.about.com. And you can find my coaching information at elizabethscott.info.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And thank you. Elizabeth Scott is a wellness coach and health educator. Barbara's a psychiatrist here in town with the Rittenhouse Healing Collaborative. And speaking of healing, Barbara, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about healing those historic wounds, opening up to the family we have, and turning stress into love, I think, and gratitude. Our phone number, by the way, is 888-477-9499. We've got a couple of open lines, and we would love to hear from you. Tell us about these holidays, what they mean to you. Tell us about holiday joys and disasters. And, of course, we're here if you've got a question or would like some advice. That's 888-477-9499. Well, we'll be back after a short break. I'm Dan Gottlieb. You're listening to Voices in the Family right here on WHYY-FM.
Supporting WHYY, Elizabeth Bennett and Associates, providing personalized and discreet divorce and family law services through litigation, mediation, collaboration, and negotiation. Located in Wayne, PA. Online at ebennettlaw.com.
They are one of the top-selling R&B groups of all time. Their voices have melted the hearts of millions of fans. Now their sound is reaching a new audience.
We still have 9-year-olds coming to concerts singing Into the Road, and they would never even hear.
Boyz II Men on their new album, 20, next time on Tell Me More.
Let you go. It's
this afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
Beaumont at Bryn Mawr supports WHYY and presents a panel discussion, Moving into Retirement, with Dr. Dan Gottlieb, Saturday, December 3rd at 1 p.m. with lunch at noon. Open to the public, beaumontretirement.com or 610-526-7000.
Thanks for listening to Voices in the Family. I'm Dan Gottlieb. I'm talking with psychiatrist Barbara Wingate about the holidays, what they mean, what the joys and what the conflicts are. Barbara, this is a Thanksgiving. It's a holiday to give thanks. I always start the meal at my home with a ritual, and I ask everybody at the table to name three things they feel gratitude for. And we go around the whole table, and everybody says all three things. And my daughter thinks it's hokey and kind of stupid. So that's one of the things I feel grateful for, because I just love to torture my my children. But, you know, we have to have perspective about what this holiday is really about.
I'm struck by what abundance most of us live in. That also acknowledging that this last several years has brought really huge financial strain and stress to many people. So it's a dichotomy. We are relatively abundant, but many people are struggling with new scenarios. And I think this is a holiday where if we can look to also who we can help, as rather just how we can celebrate. I think of Thanksgiving with the fondest of memories. Good food, fun family, not that many conflicts, but I think as I've aged and as I've actually learned from other people, I've watched other families and other groups, more so than I have been, involved in service and helping others. And I think that enriches it. That's certainly a goal of mine for the future, that I will be thinking beyond the family at my table and thinking of the family in my region, the family in the world, and how do we include them in our hearts and our acts. And I think Thanksgiving's, maybe it's a time where the ritual around the table could be, what would you like to do this year for someone else or another group? And to be aware of...
Who are you involved with?
Yes. Who am I involved with? Yeah. I think the group that touches me the most is Homefront. It's an agency that works with shelter children in, and shelter families in the Trenton area. And I've had a growing relationship with them over the last 7 years, from feeding the kids homemade food and helping them get tutoring to having pool parties at my house where the busload comes with 40 kids from Trenton. And I'm known as the pool lady. And I have attended a luncheon that they put on, and mine is like the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more that these kids need and that these families need, and Homefront is phenomenal. So that comes to mind, that I can certainly deepen. And my daughter's school is involved with it, which is a new, happy, synergistic coincidence. So it's that's for me.
That's wonderful. Mine is the Boys and Girls Club of Camden, and I watch what this program does for these kids who are at such high risk. And it's one I'd love. I love hanging out down there, spending time with the kids. So that's mine. And my dream is, when I cut back at work. I want to spend more time there and at schools and just hanging out and being with people and helping them best I can.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I know I have friends. I can think of five off the top of my head who are all involved with something, and I know it's enriching them. And so I think we can look around and learn from our friends.
Oh, yeah. Let's go back to the phones. We've got lots of people who want to join the conversation. We've got Justin on the line. Hi, Justin.
Hi. All right. Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
I wanted to say a thing or two about how spending some holidays with my wife's family has completely transformed my experience of get-togethers with my own family. My family was never really one for big gatherings on the holidays. We did it sometimes, but my father just isn't one for rituals. It's not because his heart is in the wrong place. That's just how he grew up. And my mother really was and still is, but she could never really make something work completely on her own. So that's how I grew up, and I didn't really see the value, especially as I became older, and you know, as a non-religious person, anything that had religious connotations, I sort of felt a little bit alienated by. But when I started dating my wife, her family really took me in, and they partly because they're scattered all over the world, and partly because of some cultural reasons as well. Whenever they can get together in one place, everybody drops everything, and they get together. They throw themselves fully into having as welcoming and inclusive and loving, genuinely loving a time as they possibly can. And they invited me wholeheartedly into these gatherings, even before my wife and I got married. And I started really feeling differently about, you know, what a holiday meant. It wasn't just an excuse to celebrate. It was a way to feel connected. And one of the things that I really appreciate my wife's family for is that they understand that when any one of us is going through a high or a low time, it affects everybody. Mm. And so we need to embrace each other and support each other and be happy with each other for that reason. And when I took that attitude to my own family gatherings, it completely transformed things. I decided, you know what, if there's a reason, if my father has some time, he wants to invite some people over for lunch, I'm going to do everything I can to make it, and I'm going to throw myself fully into it. I'm not going to think about anything else, and just those basic things. And I started feeling all of these benefits, you know, feeling grounded in my life, feeling like I had a purpose, fending off loneliness, it didn't even occur to me until I started feeling them from my wife's family and then trying it out in my own interactions. So I'm deeply grateful for having had that opportunity with my wife's family and how they've, my parents feel it as well. Just knowing them has been a tremendous privilege, and it's really transformed the way we have interacted with each other.
Justin, you are proving that kindness and love is contagious. It changes people, and it forces people to be kind and to love better and more often and more thoroughly. It doesn't take much. Kindness and love changes people.
It's a wonderful story. Yeah. Just a wonderful story.
I do want to say one other thing, Justin. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
If you wouldn't mind giving us the address and the time. Your in-laws are having dinner. Yeah, there are lots of people who want to come there for the. I'm bringing my whole crowd.
I am too. Yeah.
Well, I am too. I'll tell you what. We're having a big bash in Dhaka, Bangladesh, which is where they're from, in December. So I'll drop you a line if you'd like to get some people over. I'm sure we'd be happy to have you.
Nice.
That is wonderful.
Justin, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you. Have a great one.
You too. Great story.
Oh my gosh, that is a great story.
It really is about love and compassion. It changes everything.
Well, I have friends who are family in Delaware who are that way. And I would speak directly to Kay Ryan and say everyone feels that way about her house. You come in and you are just embraced as family, embraced with love. It's always big and overflowing. You're always welcome. So Bangladesh, Wilmington. You know, it's many places.
Let's go back to the lines. We've got Janice on the line.
Hi, this is Janice. How are you?
Hi, Janice. Good, thanks. How are you?
Thanks so much for taking my call. I just wanted to share, as a recovering compulsive overeater, Thanksgiving kind of takes a different focus for me. And growing up, Thanksgiving was all about the food. My dad, unfortunately, had some problems with rage. And, you know, Thanksgiving was pretty stressful. And, you know, I guess we all used to eat just to deal with the stress of the situation. And I remember when I got married and having Thanksgiving dinner with my in-laws, and my father-in-law had everyone stop, and we went around the table, and we all thanked God. You know, we said what we were thankful for, and I nearly fell off my seat. I was so, so thrilled that the focus was on thanking God for our blessings. Mm-hmm. And then I got into recovery and from compulsive overeating through Overeaters Anonymous, and just Thanksgiving, I remember my first Thanksgiving, I was so nervous, and my sponsor said to me, just be grateful you have people to celebrate Thanksgiving with. And I was like, oh, yeah, there's right. There, you know, some people don't have anybody. And I just, I really appreciated what one of the speakers said about, you know, just focus on the gratitude and how it changes your mind. And what the last person shared was wonderful about just loving the people I'm with. And so I'm just really grateful for this show. I'm really grateful for recovery. And that now Thanksgiving isn't all about the food. It's really about being grateful for all my blessings. So well, I just wanted to share that.
Janice, you've made me very happy, and I'm grateful for you. Thanks for the call.
Oh, thanks.
Barbara, you work a lot with women and body image. This must be a difficult holidays. All holidays must be difficult.
It is, and I have worked a lot with people who have disordered eating, and I think that you have just brought up the most wonderful point, that if you can focus on the relationships and a sense of gratitude, it shifts things. That's a process. It takes a while to get there, and our overemphasis on food at the holidays is often at the expense of the real loving connection with the people that you're with, and the food should just be the sidebar fun. But I love Justin's description of how everybody just gets loved at his place. They just get bumped up with love.
That does change the world. Barbara, I often invite people who feel stress around their families. I invite them to just view their families. Take a step back and view the people around the table as though you were a great biography writer or an anthropologist. Just watch people and how interesting they are, and watch how they interact. And, you know, when I was younger and I began to see my family as a family and not just my family, everything changed.
How old were you when you started doing that?
30.
30?
Yeah.
And what made you do that? What made you start looking at them as a family, not just your family, but sort of be able to take a step back and
I don't know. I found it, well, no, that's not true. It was my kids. Uh-huh. And I would come into these holidays feeling all sorts of anxiety about, you know, what this was going to do if this one said this or that one said that, and what the stress was going to be about. And finally I said, wait a minute. You know, these are people, people who love me and I love them. Let me just watch. I mean, that's what I do for a living. Let me do it at home. So that's where it started. And I've been doing that in a gradually, increasingly loving way every year.
I'm going to suggest that when you're watching people, you're also listening. And what happens is when we go to these holidays, there's so much catching up, and if everybody's talking about what they're doing, you can forget that the biggest gift you can get in connecting with someone is actually to listen to someone else.
Yeah, listen without trying to think of what you're going to say next.
Exactly.
And just listen. You know, we started off talking about stages of life, and you and I are both grown-ups now.
he pretends.
So I continue to observe my family as I did through the eyes of a child and somebody trying to be a grown-up, and you know, being a younger brother of age when I was 40 years old. And now I'm kind of the patriarch, and I watch my children having children and my children getting gray hair. And but when I watch as the patriarch, knowing that that's going to go on when I'm not here, I feel something wistful and tender and quietly loving, something reassuring and loving. In that moment, I'm not part of it. I'm just sitting back and holding everybody around the table and quietly telling each one how much I love them.
And you will stay on in their hearts and their being. My father and my father-in-law stay on in our hearts. And so I do think that kind of love gets transmitted to your family. And I know there's not a Thanksgiving or any holiday that I don't feel my parents' presence with me.
Right, right. And look, you know, I hope I'm able to do that for another 20 or 30 Thanksgivings.
At least.
Yeah. But it's just a wonderful, open-hearted and loving feeling. Speaking of open-hearted and loving, Barbara, I love you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Barbara Wingate, in addition to being my dear friend, is a psychiatrist with the Rittenhouse Healing Collaborative. On Saturday, December 3rd at 1 p.m. at Beaumont, I'm going to be leading a panel discussion about moving into retirement, speaking about transitions. I hope you'll join me. There's information on our webpage and there's information on my webpage. Well, next week we're going to re-air our program on Nerds. It's a show about passionate learners. You can reach us at voices@whyy.org, and I am at drdangottlieb.com. Well, the engineer for today's show has been Bob Alls. Elizabeth Perez Luna is our producer of audio content. Our volunteer is Emily Haas. Mike and Scott is our executive producer. Jennifer Lynn is our producer, and I have just read off the names of people I am so deeply grateful for every week. Thank you, guys. Me, I'm Dan Gottlieb, and I'm also grateful to you for listening to this show. Enjoy your week, my friends.